This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, our hope and our desire, we await your coming as a woman longs for the birth of her child, the exile for her home, the lover for the touch of his beloved, and the humble poor for justice. Amen. Please be seated. First of all, it's always a privilege to preach at Unplugged because Rev. Wendy is pretty proprietary about Unplugged, and she's very fussy. And besides which, just following her preaching is a pretty high bar. I wish I could sing this morning. Those of you who may remember me as a deacon trying to intone the gospel, you will know that singing is not one of my very many talents. But this gospel seems to require a stanza of, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, although I've never dreamt of a white Christmas. But you see the dreaming part. Some of you probably, maybe, are old enough to remember the Everly Brothers, Dream, 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 Dream Lover. We talk about the American dream. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. When my husband talks about the winning the lottery, I say, dream on. And my personal favorite quotation is Robert Kennedy's, some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream things that never were, and I say, why not? So often, dreams are longings, and yet we tend to dismiss them. We say, oh, you know, I had dreamless, I must have been something I ate. Or, I was thinking about that person yesterday, so that's why they showed up in my dream. Or, I was reading about this thing, and so that's why it turned up in my dream. And by noon, we've even forgotten the dream. We distrust our dreams. My brother is a dreamer. As a boy, he was always in trouble in school for daydreaming. He was not a troublemaker, but apparently whatever went on in his dreams as he looked out the window was just more interesting than whatever was going on in the classroom. So the nuns were forever calling me in to inform me that my brother was not paying attention and I should tell my mother, which I am ashamed to say I was happy to do. Yeah, he's forgiven me. But I think it was his dreaming that brought him to a PhD and a career in science with numerous patents, including that for the first nutrient that HIV patients could keep down and therefore live. In the beginning of the HIV epidemic, they couldn't even get to medicine because a lot of these people were dying of malnutrition or even starvation because nothing worked. Nothing could be kept down. And I'm very proud that my brother was the one who discovered and developed a nutrient, which, by the way, is still used in hospitals today, Dr. told me recently. And for the rest of us, he developed Centrum. So next time you take your Centrum vitamin in the morning, you think of my brother Richard. It certainly wasn't any encouragement he got from our working class neighborhood. And although my parents certainly wanted the best for him, they could not have imagined what he would become. But he had a dream. And he was faithful to it through all the times his friends had money while he was working to pay tuition, despite the teasing he got for taking his girlfriend on dates to see the planes take off from Kennedy Airport because he had no money. She married him anyway. And despite losing two fellowships for a PhD to the draft during the Vietnam War. And because he believed in his dream, because he was faithful to it and willing to follow it and willing to sacrifice for it, the dream changed his life and the lives of thousands, perhaps millions of people around the world. That's sort of where we are with Joseph this morning. Betrothal was a state more intense than engagement, but just short of formal marriage. Surely the whole small town they lived in were happy for Mary and Joseph, but Joseph learns that she is pregnant. A scandal, more than a scandal, a crime, punishable by stoning to death. Nowhere in the gospel is it written that the angel Gabriel went around to all the people in Nazareth and explained to them what was going on. Joseph is an observant Jew. He cannot now marry Mary. But he is also a good man, so he is trying to find a way to, the gospel says, dismiss her quietly. Then Joseph has a dream. "Do not be afraid," the angel says in the dream. I think he must have been terrified. But as Suzanne Guthrie writes, Joseph trusted his dream. Joseph accepted this non-rational unknown. Joseph was willing to forsake the conventional righteousness. He is ennobled in humility and in courage and is in integrity. Joseph trusted his dream, but even more, he must have trusted the voice of God in the prophet Isaiah, which we heard in the, well, you didn't hear it, but those of you who were at 9:30 heard it, in the prophet Isaiah, which is quoted in today's gospel, so you did hear it that way. And he would also remember the dreams of his ancestors, Jacob and the first Joseph. Then this Joseph changes direction overnight in a dark conversion. It makes him the last Advent icon. Joseph is awakened by his dream. He is able to put aside his prejudices and the prejudices of his society and his own fears. And in doing so, he becomes God's instrument in the redemption of the world. One of the amazing things about the Jesus story is that God required the consent of two poor young people in a backwater town in order to accomplish God's work, to fulfill God's dream for the world. Suppose Mary had said no. Suppose Joseph had dismissed his dream or said, "I can't." We all have dreams. And believe me, it doesn't matter what your age is. To follow them requires trust that they come from God, to remember the dream of Joseph and the willingness to risk our lives in order to achieve what they promise. In case you think that my brother's dream was too singular or Joseph's dream too intense or too important, let me tell you about another dream that some of our friends from right here in St. Joseph's had and what they did about it. They live in a large 55-plus community nearby, and they began to notice that there were people in their communities who no longer drove, but who still needed to get to doctor's appointments, to Publix, to CVS, and other people who had who couldn't even do that and who needed the equivalent of Meals on Wheels. And also those who had some physical problems that required a bit of nursing help. That was a dream. Now, they could have said, "Boynton Beach should do this for us," or "Our condo community should be doing this." But they said, "Let's see if we can get together and do this." And so they did. They collected a small group of people who began to do this work and attracted more people to come with them and do this work. They didn't want to be formally associated with their community, with their association, but they rented a room where they could have a desk and a list of names and addresses and where people could call them and where they could keep supplies. And so now they are a thriving thing. They visit homes, they bring meals, they drive people to doctor's appointments, they drive people to the store. There are a few nurses among them who check up on people. They call people on the phone to make sure they're okay. It's a wonderful thing. It came out of one man's dream. And a couple of women who then said, "Yeah, we can do that too." And then it spread. And now they're talking about spreading it to another community nearby, which happens to be mine, so I hope they do. But it's a dream. It was a dream, and that's what they did. And we can all do those kinds of things if we listen to our dreams and are willing to risk in order to accomplish them. Joseph had to do that in order for God to redeem the world. It's amazing. Joseph awoke from sleep, the gospel says. This final week before Christmas, let us remember that while next week we will celebrate the holy birth 2,000 years ago, God still dreams of coming to us now and into our lives and our world. And God needs us, you and me, to wake from sleep and say, yes, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.